as a roadmap for this talk, I've split up washouts into two primary categories. The first I'm going to call override washouts, which are the type you're probably most familiar with. But that's just shorthand. You know, this kind of washout can happen to any kind of interest in an oil and gas lease that's not a working interest, like a LEN, an option, an override, of course, or really any kind of revenue-only interest that doesn't bear the right to drill, produce, and operate. Working interest washouts are less common, and they involve different considerations than override washouts. And they can occur to an undivided interest in a single lease or to non-operators' interests under a separate lease in a prospect. And again, we'll get into that. So let's start with override washouts, and that'll take us to Sunac Petroleum versus Parks, which is the seminal Supreme Court case on the topic. It was in 1967. And I'm going to summarize this case and a few follow-on cases that reinforced Sunac, and then I'll talk about two new Supreme Court cases on override washouts, and then we're going to circle back and talk about working interest washouts. So first, on the topic of override washouts, let's talk about the extension and renewal clause. This is a common clause that you'll see in assignments that create overriding royalties. It typically says something along the lines of the override will extend to and be binding upon any renewals or extensions of the lease that the override burdens that are taken within 1 year of termination of the underlying interest or something else within that sort of time frame. They're generally time limited. This clause is, you can take a look at my paper for a more comprehensive, sampling of those kind of clauses. Modern clauses are more likely to also cover new leases that are taken by an operator that are not an extension or renewal or a top lease, but we'll talk about the important distinction between those two kinds. And generally, you'll hear it referred to an anti-washout clause when it covers things other than extension and renewals. So in Sunac, it generally follows that three parts procedure that I described above. The lease in this case was subject to an overriding royalty that was protected by a fairly typical extension and renewal clause, but it did not cover new leases. And so you're probably jumping ahead here. Of course, we've got a new lease on the property. The assignment also contained what's called a surrender clause, which said that the lessee could release the lease really at any time for any reason or no reason, and did not have an obligation to continue producing, at least not for the benefit of the override owner. So the lease terminated because it happened to be a non-drill site tract in a pooled gas unit that only produced oil. It's not super important why the lease termination occurred. Texas has not seen fit to make a lot of distinctions on those grounds. But in any case, naturally, the lessee, the operating lessee, took a new lease to replace that terminated lease and looked at it and said, well, this is not really an extension of my prior lease. It's not really a replacement. So I don't think this anti-washout clause applies to this new lease. And so I'm going to take my higher NRI. And of course, the override owner didn't take kindly to that. And so we have our dispute. The court first recognized that because overrides are carved out of the lease, they can't survive the termination of the lease itself unless the instrument creating the override says otherwise. That's not new. That was black letter Texas law at the time, but that was sort of the basis that the court used to go on and hold that that the text of the extension and renewal clause in this case did not extend to new leases. And it was not an extension of the prior lease because it had created an entirely new estate, had no relationship to the prior lease. And it wasn't a renewal of the prior lease because many of the terms were different. It was now a producing property and new consideration was paid for it. And that holding has held pretty firm throughout the progeny of the Sunac case And there hasn't been really any substantial challenge to that holding. The court looked at whether it should, even though the extension and renewal clause didn't apply, the plaintiffs claimed that it was due some sort of equitable relief because of the sort of allegedly underhanded nature of what had happened. It had been washed out of its interest. The court said no to that too, because there's simply no textual or factual basis to find that a confidential or fiduciary relationship existed to begin with between the lessee and the override owner. There just wasn't a duty to begin with, and the court at this time in its history was not into inventing implied terms as much as it was in prior years. The parties had a purely business relationship, and the court just wasn't willing to stretch the extension and renewal clause into any kind of special duty to protect the override beyond what it had in its express terms.